Welcome to part two of Deliver a Clinical Hypnosis Session. I want to talk about a simple framework that was introduced to me at the Milton Erickson Foundation in Phoenix, Arizona. Jeff Zeig proposed that there are five stages of hypnosis. The first one being the pre-hypnotic stage. This is the interview, this is the pre-talk, this is discussion of what their experience is or has been of hypnosis. The second stage is the induction, taking the person down into a hypnotic state. The third one is utilization. That is, in the intervention, we want to utilize aspects of that client's experience that are going to make this relevant to the client. Remembering that Ericksonian hypnosis, you will tailor your response to the client based on the client. You can't read an Ericksonian script to someone. It just doesn't work. Traditional hypnosis will really see it as a one-size-fits-all treatment plan, but Ericksonian was always about tailoring to the client. The fourth piece was about post-hypnotic suggestions. So now they're in hypnosis. After that, what do you say? What do you suggest to them? What do you tell them that maybe they couldn't take on board during a waking state, but maybe in the hypnosis state they could possibly utilize? And then, of course, the fifth one is the termination, closing it off and bringing them back. Then there's another layer to this, the R principle. So the first A stands for absorption. The aim is to get the client absorbed into a new way of experiencing themselves or the world around them. And the hypnotic state is the way we do that. In many ways, whilst they're running the problem, they are effectively in a self-induced hypnotic state. You've heard me say it before, but let me clarify again. If they're anxious, they're basically doing rather crappy kind of guided visualizations of them failing or them being under pressure or them being embarrassed or whatever else it's going to be. So they've been absorbed in a very different type of experience. What we want to do is get them absorbed in a very new and maybe more useful experience. You would then also ratify. Ratification is where you validate that the client's doing well, remembering that the client doesn't really know what they're doing. Especially if they haven't had any kind of hypnosis experience before, they'll be wondering, are they doing the right thing or not? Particularly leaning towards perfectionism or a high need for control, they'll always be asking and second guessing themselves. So it's important that you ratify. Let them know they're doing okay, so that they stay with you rather than get into the self-critical loop. And the third element, the E, is elicitation. We're going to elicit resource, we're going to elicit experience, we're going to elicit solutions. So let's look at the first one, absorption. It's about creating focused attention away from the outside world. All hypnosis, we want them to focus on the inner world. Remembering that the inner world is a construct of our own that we use to engage and negotiate the external world. We represent the external world in our own imagination. So this can then be expanded out for a breadth of trance. How do we create space internally that's going to give us a level of lateral thinking? So in many ways, it's really interesting how it happens sometimes. You'll make all sorts of suggestions as a hypnotherapist, but the client will come up with all sorts of things on their own. And sometimes it's just the fact they've gone internal and hypnosis allows them to be quiet for a little while, at maybe a level of peace for a little while, and suddenly they'll come up with all sorts of possible solutions that they really wouldn't have otherwise come up with because they're just always in the treadmill of life. So we can engage their imagination and the different elements of hypnotic phenomena. Stillness in their legs, the rhythm of their breathing, noticing thoughts passing through their mind, you utilize these different aspects of the hypnotic experience to absorb them in a new way of being. Traditional hypnosis will talk about inducing trance, and that kind of definitely implies the powers with the hypnotherapist. But Ericksonians would talk about eliciting trance because you're evoking it in them. The truth is, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. You can't make anyone do anything. They take themselves down in response to you. So ratification, it's about providing feedback for the client, telling them they're okay. The classic ratification statement of Milton Erickson was, "That's right." No matter what the client did, it was quite possible Erickson would say, "That's right." If they sneezed, "That's right." If they coughed, "That's right." If they wriggled around and readjusted themselves in the chair, "That's right." No matter what they did, he would validate it. You could also take it a little bit further. In the last several minutes, your breathing has shifted, your muscles have relaxed, and your blood pressure has eased. And as your participation in this process develops, you could, and you could link it to whatever else you want to move on to next. Now, what's the point of this ratification piece? It highlights shifts. You can't say your breathing is relaxed if it hasn't, because the very last thing you want to do in an Ericksonian space is say something where they could say, "No, that's not true." So you'd only say things that you can witness and that they could notice as well. But things like your blood pressure has eased, well, they can't really check that. They can kind of make the assessment that's likely to have happened as they relax, but they can't check it. And that's why you say it, because they can't check it. They have to let it go. And in trance, they're much more likely to let it go. So really what you're saying is, you're doing fine. Wherever you are, that's absolutely fine. And that allows them to relax in with it. If they're worried about their own capacities to go into trance, if they're worried that you don't really know what you're doing, whatever the concern is, it's going to lead to internal dialogue that you really don't want in there. You don't want them in their own head thinking, "What's happening here? Am I doing this right? Oh my God, I've spent a lot of money here. Like, am I in trance? I don't know. Am I really? Like, what's happening?" And you don't want that. You want them to only be hearing you. But they can't just hear you if they're running their own second-guessing process. So validate them. Let them know they're doing fine. And because even if they're not doing great, you still validate, and that gives them permission to take it further. And the E is about elicitation. In trance, you want to elicit resources within the client. Where do they have resources they could bring to bear on this problem? And typically, that's going to be where they're strong, in the non-problem space, or where they spend time, where they really enjoy what they're doing. Typically, we're much more resourceful. You want to elicit responsiveness, their ability to respond to you and interact and then build upon anything that you say. You want to elicit possibilities. Ericksonian hypnosis is not so much about telling people what to do. It's very much more about offering possibilities and helping the client come up with their own possibilities, evoke possibilities in them, so they can start to see choice. Choice would generally require at least three options: a yes, no, and maybe. And of elicit imagination, because as they imagine themselves in the future acting differently, or if they imagine themselves being able to step away from old behavior, whatever they're imagining, it's a resource point. So this is a nice, simple little construct that allows you to basically summarize the underpinning to Ericksonian hypnosis. The vast majority of the Ericksonian hypnosis model, of course, is run by Bill O'Hanlon. So please make sure you're really across that before you get to the first module.